Good evening, everybody. I apologize for the strange angle on the camera. I'm in a room without a desk over here, so this is a laptop that is literally on the lap. Tonight we're going to discuss one of two shilas as usual. So here are the two shilas that came up this week. They both came up actually, I believe it was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, that I got both of these shilas. One of them was an email I got from someone that read as follows. My father is of advanced age and lives alone in Chicago. He has only distant relatives living near him. I'm an only child. I grew up in Chicago, but my family and I live in New Jersey. We visit as often as we can, but it's proven more difficult lately because of COVID. My father is Israeli, but has lived in the U.S. for nearly 50 years. His entire family, including his mother, grandparents, uncles, and aunts, as well as my mother, who was Niftaris in 2019, and her parents are all buried in Israel. My father has made it clear that after 120, he wants to be buried in Los Angeles. He does not want to be buried in Israel. He realizes very few, if any, of his relatives will visit his kever. He has a sister and nieces and nephews all living in Israel, as well as me and my family in New Jersey. It's unlikely that we would be in Chicago to visit his grave all too often. My question is, would it be mutter to arrange to bury him in Israel, knowing it's against his express wishes, but that he'd be buried with nearly all his family and would have far more visitors to his kever? Or would Kibbutz Av require me to bury him in Chicago with the understanding that he'd receive few visitors over the years? I know that moving a body to Israel is mutter, as it serves as an aliyas neshama to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Is this a similar situation? Could we move him to Israel after Kavur has already taken place in Chutz Laretz, knowing he wouldn't want it to take place? So this is an unusual situation, because you have express request to be buried in one place, but by all logical measures, the Kavura should really be somewhere else. So does one have to listen to the father in that situation? That is Shaila number one. Shaila number two. I got a text from a therapist just the other day, and the text went as follows. The therapist said that it was actually a voice note, so I'm going to summarize it. The therapist said that he's seeing an engaged couple, which is not uncommon. Engaged couples we strongly encourage, whether there are or are not problems, even if everything is wonderful and everything is happy, as we hope it always is, it's always a good idea to go for some premarital counseling. A couple could always use some help in learning communication skills and problem-solving skills and other types of things to solve problems before they arise. So that's what this case seemed like when the therapist started with them. Happy young couple, very frum families, everything wonderful. And then at some point, something in their demeanor severely changed. And when he got to the bottom of it, it turns out that they had lost a fair amount of respect for each other, and that was a result of an evening where they had violated an Isser Yichud, which is not all that uncommon, unfortunately. But when they violated the Isser Yichud, they also violated a lot more than the Isser Yichud, which again, not super duper uncommon, but it went so far, and this is somewhat uncommon, that she is no longer a Besula. And now they have this young, frum couple. The parents are from regular shiduchim that they went through, and the girl is not a basula, she's a bu'ulas atzmo. She's not a basula because of him. He knows exactly why she's not a basula. And they would be absent. Now they're terrified, because they want to do their marriage right. They want to, you know, this was a moment of terrible, terrible weakness, and they want to do everything halachically correct. So they want their ksuba to be correct as well. But they cannot have a ksuba that says anything but besula. They can't tell them Rishadu Kiddushin. They can, certainly can't have it read under the chuppah that it's a ksubas bu'ula. The rebbeim are all going to be at the wedding. Their parents, rabbis, are going to be at the wedding. All the relatives are going to be at the wedding. So is there anything that they can do, and any eitzah to help with their guilt over this situation. So that, well, the second part is for the therapist to figure out. First part is for me to figure out. Is there anything that they could do in that situation? So as always, I'm going to ask you to please use the chat feature to vote on which Shaila you would like to discuss, whether it's Shaila number one, which was the burial case, or Shaila number two, about a ksuba for a couple where she is no longer a basula. Ooh, it's a close vote. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's imamish tied. Okay, what do we do now? Some people haven't voted yet. Okay, 1 second. I'm just trying to tally. So I think number two. Yeah. Okay. So now it's by a wider margin. Okay. So Shaila number two, I guess, is what we'll discuss with the. That was the one. Which one was Shaila number two? That was the one with the ksuba. Okay. So we'll discuss that Shaila. It happens to be an interesting Shaila and is not as pashut as one might think. So first, some background to the halacha. So obviously, the halacha. Well, I'm getting some feedback. Daniel, can you mute yourself? Because I'm just getting some feedback for some reason on that. Okay, so obviously the halacha is that the halacha is as follows: that when a besula gets married, the ksuba is masayim. When an almana gets married or a beula gets married, the ksuba is mana. We often think that means that the ksuba's almana is one half of the ksuba's besula, and that in fact is the way many poskim understand, including the way some rishonim understand. Rav Shachter thought the more pashut pshat is the way other rishonim understand, that when we talk about the masayim of a ksuba's besula, the masayim of a ksuba's besula is kesef to chazulichi mida oraisa, right? It's the kesef that is a ra'oi to her from him on a da'oraisa level. But there's a machlokas tanoim, a machlokas amoraim, a machlokas rishonim, whether ksuba's da'oraisa or derabanan. So how can we write the chazulichi mida oraisa? So the rishonim already explained that even if ksuba is derabanan, the kesef that we're describing in the ksuba's pasula is kesef mida oraisa, meaning there's a difference between kesef Tzuri, kesef Medina. There are different types of currencies that are described. A kesef mida oraisa is 8 times the value of kesef that's midrabanan, and a ksuba salmana is a mana of kesef midrabanan. So it turns out that you think that a ksuba spazul is only twice as much as ksuba salmana, but in reality it's 16 times as much as ksuba salmana, because the kesef is worth 8 times the value. But be that as it may, whether you say it's twice as much, whether you say it's 16 times as much, certainly a besula is entitled to more in her ksuba than an almana is entitled to. And it could be that a ksuba for a besula is a din da'araisa, a ksuba for an almana, l'kulei alma, is only a din midrabanan. So there's definitely supposed to be a separate ksuba. Those are not the only two texts of a ksuba. It's not only ksuba's besula and ksuba's bu'ula or ksuba's almana. You have what's called the ksuba di irkasa. If a couple loses their ksuba, this happens from time to time. A couple moves, or I once had a case where someone called me up to ask, how do you spell Rockley, New Jersey? Because they were getting married in the Rockley Country Club. So Masada Kedushin called me up, how do you spell Rockley, New Jersey? So I said, I have an idea of how I would spell it, but I'm sure there's a minhag already. I remember I have a good friend who got married in the Rockley Country Club, so let me call him and I'll find out. So I called up my friend. I said, could you do me a favor? Check your ksuba. Let me know. He had a very chashuv Masada Kedushin. Let me know how your Masada Kedushin spelled Rockley. And I didn't hear back from him. So I called him back again, and he's like, We can't find our ksuba. We lost our ksuba. So that night they had to write a new ksuba. Okay, so these things happen. Sometimes the ksuba, you know, in Hurricane Sandy, a number of ksubas got ruined. There are all sorts of reasons why ksuba is no longer viable, and you need a ksuba. You need to write a ksuba dir. I was once at someone's house for a Shabbos meal, and I was reading the ksuba on their wall, and I noticed that there was a very key word missing from the ksuba. And I asked them, "Hey, is this your real ksuba?" And they said, "Yes." I said we should talk after Shabbos, and then we had to do what's called a different text of Ksuba. Ksuba de ishtakach pata'usa, a Ksuba where you find a mistake. But the most fundamental difference between two types of Ksuba, if you're not yet married, when you go shopping for a Ksuba, the one thing that you want to absolutely look for when you ask for the right Ksuba, you know, assuming you're not getting any fancy calligraphy, whatever, you just go buying the $5 Ksuba, you want to make sure that it matches the Kala status, that if the Kala is a Basula, she's never been married before, so you want a Ksuba's Basula. If the Kala has been married before or is not a Basula, so then you would get the appropriate Ksuba. I have a cousin who told me when he got married, he went and bought what looked like a pretty nice Ksuba from the Sfarim store, and then he brought it over to his Masada Kiddushin so the Masada Kiddushin could make sure that it's okay. And the Masada Kiddushin is looking at the Ksuba, and he's looking and he says, Avi, is there anything you want to tell me? And he says, no, everything's great. He's like, are you sure? Is there a reason you bought this Ksuba? And he said, well, you know, it's a lovely Ksuba. It's, you know, very nice designs all around the sides. And the Masada Kiddushin, like, kept on pressing him. Is there something about this Ksuba that you were looking for? And he didn't realize. He accidentally bought a Ksuba's Ba'ula when he was marrying, you know, his 19-year-old Kala. So you have to make sure that you get it right. Okay, but now here's a couple that they know what the right thing is, but they can't do it. They absolutely can't do it. So there is a comment in the Nachla Shiva, and it's also in the Levush and Ebenezer Simon Samach Vav, and in the Beis Meir, and it's quoted in Pesachei Tshuva and Simon Samach Vav, Sivkat and Ches, that says that the practice is to just write, normally we write Lahada Besulta, that he's writing to this Besulta. So write Lahada Plonis without writing Besulta, because Besulta is false and you can't write Sheker. You don't have to write Be'ulta. Be'ulta will be embarrassing. Everyone will hear that word. So just say Lahada, you know, Rivka Bas, whatever, you know, whatever the name of the girl is. The Maramin says, no, you got to write Pa'ula. Why do you have to write Pa'ula? What were to happen if this marriage, lo aleinu, were to end with the husband dying and the girl becoming an almana? And then she wants to get remarried to a Kohen. So everyone will assume, oh, no problem, an almana is allowed to get married to a Kohen as long as he's not the Kohen Gadol. So as long as he's not, you know, the guy that she chooses is not the Kohen Gadol. We don't have a Kohen Gadol nowadays. It doesn't count no matter how tall he is. He's not a Kohen Gadol. So it doesn't, as long as she's not marrying a Kohen Gadol, she's totally fine to marry a Kohen. Everyone's going to assume that way. Ooh, but if they knew that she was a Bu'ula from before, then they'd have a whole bunch more questions. They would have questions about who did she have Bia with? And, you know, is it someone that would pass a little kahuna? So in order to make sure that we do proper research in the future, there has to be some indication, says Mara Mintz, in the Ksuba that she's Taka Abu'ula. Nachla Shiva responds that, why would you assume that she was Nivellus Lepasula? Meaning if a girl was with a Jewish man, even though it's terrible, she should not have been with a man before she got married. So it's terrible that she did that. But if the man that she was with was Jewish, it doesn't passel, and he was not a mamzer or anything, it doesn't passel her the kahuna. It would. It's only if she was with someone who's passel that would passel her the kahuna. So why would you assume? If she lives in a place certainly where there's Rov Yisrael, then certainly you would assume that everything's okay. So says the Nachla Shiva. And so says the Nachla Shiva. Now, the Nachla Shiva also points out that she's believed to say, when it's Rov Yisrael, if she claims L'kasher Nevalti, she'd be believed anyway. So it's no Pesul Kuhuna. There is a Shitas HaRambam where the Rambam requires Trey Rubi. The Rambam requires a double Rov. Rov of the people in the city and Rov of the passers-by. Remember, my brother once had a shayla. I believe it's this is the shayla that Rav Asher Weiss printed a tshuva to in, I think it's the first or second volume of Tshuvas Minchas Asher, where there was a case of a girl who was in Eretz Yisrael, and she, Nebuch, lo aleinu, was attacked, and the man was ma'aneser, and the man got away. They never caught the guy who did this to her. And now, years later, she was dating a Kohen. So the Shaila was, is she allowed to marry this Kohen? Because they don't know who she was nivelas to. Now, it was of no fault of her own, Rachman al-Tzlan. I mean, she was attacked, but they don't know. So do you follow rove of the people in the town? Right, this was a major discussion in Poskim. Do you follow like a statistical rove? Rove of the people in the city. She was attacked in Gan Sakher. So rove of the people there, are they Jews or are they Arabs? Rove of the... Or do you go to the police and do you say, well, who are the rove rapists that the police catch? Is it Jews or non-Jews? Right? I mean, that might make a nafkamina. How do you look at the rove? Is a rove a statistical rove, or is the rove a population rove, just based on who's there? Right? What if the rove of the people are Jews, but 80% of them are women? Right? So you know that's not the person who did this to her. So that's a question of how exactly to measure the rove. But bottom line is, Nachla Shiva says mehechitei, so that she's going to be pasul lekuna. She might not be pasul lekuna. Anyhow, the Tashbates records a custom that they would write kalasada, instead of besultada. And the Shevet Alevi says, no, they would write itzada. Itzada, this woman. So the Tashbates was assuming that the minhag was normally kalasa besultada. So he says, okay, leave out the word besulta and just write kalasada. The Shevet Alevi is assuming like we do, that we normally don't have the word kalasa at all, so we just replace the word besula with itza. In the Chuvas Marasham, he writes, whatever you write, it doesn't matter, because when you read it under the chuppah, just read it besulta, and then it's not going to be a problem. So who cares what you write? Just have the guy under the chuppah. Yeah, but that's not going to help us over here. You can tell the person who's doing Kriya Saksuba that it doesn't matter what you write, you're just going to read it under the chuppah anyway, but they don't want the Masada Kedushin to know. They don't want anyone to write the to even write besulta. So that doesn't help. So that comes along with Rav Moshe Feinstein. In Rav Moshe, Arachayim Chelet Dalin, Simin Kuf Yud Ches. And Rav Moshe writes that if only the couple knows, and the chassan is willing to give her masayim, he's willing to pay 16 times as much for the ksuba, to commit to that kind of money, they could write besulta. The only thing is, she can't hide it from her husband. Rav Moshe writes, Bidvar ksiva saksuba ein sorech lahadid the Masada Rekidushin. Why is it the Masada Rekidushin's business? You have to tell him. The chassan's going to sign it, so he's masking, he's got no problem with it. V'shuv lekuk peida, and therefore there's nothing to be makbid about. And he's becoming chayiv in ksubas basula, even if the reality is that she's not a basula. It doesn't matter that she's not a basula, as long as in lohita sa'usa, as long as she didn't fool him. Me'achar deratzel is chayiv in ksubas basula lo gara mitosefas ksuba. He says, after all, in all of our ksubas, what do we have? What do we commit to? So we commit to the basic masayim of the ksubas basula. Then we commit to mea zekukin kesef tsaruf, which is the whatever the nifsim look, whatever she's bringing into the marriage. So we're committing to estimate all the property that she's bringing in. But then we also add mea zekukim kesef tsaruf, just as a tosefes ksuba. Stam, because we love our wives. We want to give them more money. So we commit to a lot more money anyway. So who cares if he commits to Masayim? He's committing to mea zekukim kesef tsaruf is a lot more than Masayim. Anyhow, so let him commit to Masayim instead of mana. If he's willing to do that, there's nothing wrong with it. Then Rav Moshe refers to another tshuva he wrote in Eben Ezra Simon Kuf Aleph, and he says, and that is the proper thing to do, to not tell the Masada Kedushin, just commit to the greater amount of money. But he says, Ach gam bebu'ula me'acher im nivela me'yisrael kasha shekshir l'kuna shein rogelin yisrael yin sachamamun ma'chasin yodeh v'rotu b'ksub b'suli yichon l'tav ksub b'suli. He says, not only that, it's not only if the chassan is the one who was bawel her, even if it was someone else that was bawel her, but it was someone who was kasher, who is not going to be a problem lakuna, is not going to create a problem for her lakuna. But you don't have to be megalat in the Masada Kedushin. And this is fairly typical in cases of Balei Tshuva. I remember once I was talking to my Rebbe, soon after I got married, I think. I went to my Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael, from Keren Biavna, Rav Aaron Silver, and he was telling me about a shaila that he was dealing with, that the case came up where there was a balas tshuva who got married, and they just had their first baby, a boy, and they're all ready to do a pidyon haben. Problem is, she once had an abortion, a pretty late abortion, before she had become frum, before she was Chazaris Betshuva, and she never told her husband about it. Meaning, she told her husband that she was not a basula before they got married, so the ksuba was fine. But you know, the advice that she got was he doesn't need to know every gory detail. He just needs to know that it's not you know that you're not a basula, so that he knows he's committing himself. But he doesn't need to know every single detail. So she never told him that she was once pregnant. So now in this case, she doesn't require the baby doesn't require a pinyan ben because it's not really a peter rechem. So the shaila is what to do. It's going to totally mess up the shalom bayis if she tells him at this point. So what do you do? So there happens to be Rav Vadya has a tshuva about this, and Rav Silver said he right away thought of what the answer is, but he didn't have the shoulders to say it, so he made them go to Rav Scheinberg, and Rav Scheinberg said the same thing. And that is that the Gemara tells us, Masechah Sota, that we're mochik the Shem Hashem to be matal shalom b'nish l'ishto. What's the whole concern about the Pidin HaBen? That the husband is going to say a bracha levatala. That, you know, there's nothing wrong if he wants to give money to the Kohen, gesuntei, right? The whole problem is that it's going to be a bracha levatala. So for a bracha levatala, if that's going to be mafriya, the whole shalom bayis, so it's worth it. It's worth it to say a bracha levatala. We even erase the Shem Hashem in order to be matal shalom beinish leishto. Wow, so that's an unusual case, but certainly in a case where everybody agrees and the husband's got no problem with it, so they can write whatever they want. The Marsham even goes a step further and says, even you don't even have to tell the husband. And writing Masayim, as long as she leaves a letter with the Beis Din confirming that the husband only really owes her a mana. Says Marsham, let her write a certified letter, leave it with the Beis Din that, you know, whenever I come to collect my ksuba, only give me a mana. And then you can write in the ksuba Masayim because she's not actually stealing from the husband. Wow, that's, you know, I don't know if we have such a Beis Din that will necessarily have it on record. Meaning, maybe if they're, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, where you have a Rabbanut that's in charge of all Gittin V'Kiddushin, so maybe they could keep something like that on file. But who on earth is going to keep something like that on file over here? Maybe they'll put their deposit with the RCA Beis Din and they'll get a get in some other Beis Din somewhere else. So you don't know. Rav Moshe then discusses, you know, regarding a Bu'ulas Atzmo, Rav Moshe has a whole Torah, which I'm looking at the clock now, probably not going to have time to get into, as to why it is that by a bu'ulas atzmo, it's perfectly fine for her to get Masayim. He points out that there's a Rambam in Hilchos Nar Besula Perek Aleph Halach Gimel, where the Rambam writes, Hamafuta shelo ratzali nasi lemefate, if let's say a girl was with a guy and she doesn't want to marry the guy, so he's got to pay the knas and that's it. And we don't force him to get married. But let's say they decide to get married, you don't pay knas, ella kosiv laksuba kishar habisulos. Kishar habisulos. You write a ksuba, if she's a mafuta. Mafuta means she willingly slept with this man. And now they're getting married. You give her a ksuba like all other besulos. So this certainly makes it sound like she gets a ksubas besula. Mishal HaMelech is troubled by this. Where in the world did the Rambam get this from? Shouldn't she only get a mana? How's she getting a ksubas besula? She should get a ksubas beula. And the Mishal HaMelech writes, Ke'is lo matzasi makom ledinzeh. She's a be'ula. And the Mishnah Melech explains that the Rambam must darshin a pasuk of Mori Ma'arena by Nara Mefuta to teach that the Mefuta gets whatever the general practice to give a besula is. So a regular be'ula gets a mana, but a mefuta satsmo, gets kiminagan she'ir midar raisa. Rav Moshe has trouble with the Mishnah Melech's explanation. He has his own explanation. But anyway, this forms the backbone of Rav Moshe. Moshe's shita, or at least one major element of Rav Moshe's shita, that it's not the end of the world if she gets a ksubas masayim, even though she's mefutas atzmo. And he goes on to say that, you know, if the couple were previously legally married, they could write mor besulaychi because hachiv de masayim umitzad shayse besula beisha lakcha barakos, that the chiv of masayim is on account of the fact that when they originally got married, it was masayim. In Tshuva Siach Nachum, he says, come on. You know, everyone knows, you have a couple that became Bali Tshuva, right? So they never got, they never had a kosher wedding ceremony. But they've been married 5 years, they have children, right? And now you're going to say, Mohar Bisulaychi? I mean, it's going to be a chuchavitlula, it's going to be a joke. What kind of, no, you can't. Rav Moshe is going to tell you a shtickle Torah. That no, but when they got married, legally, she was Mohar Bisulaychi.
Yeah, he can tell you all the Shekel Torahs in the world, but you can't make a ksuba that looks like it's a total joke. Let's imagine that in this case, with this therapist, it wasn't just that she's not a basula anymore, she's 6 months pregnant. Right? So she's 6 months, and you're going to say, oh, just sneak it in there, just write basula. Come on, you can't just write basula. If she's 6 months, that's not our religion. We don't believe that that happens, right? You know, that the pregnancy happens like that with a basula. You know, I mean, we do have the concept of Nisabra Bambatya, highly, highly uncommon. Rav Moshe is also quoted in Mesoris Moshe Chelek Beis, Simshin Dal Mem. He writes that for sure a bu'ula satsma kreit basulta, and even a bu'ula mimi sheino posel l'kuhuna, even if she's a bu'ula but the man that she was with doesn't posel l'kuhuna, you could also write basulta. But if it was from a psul l'kuhuna, then you have to write bu'ulta. And then he suggests that if you write basulta in another spot on the ksuba, just write itza, so that if anybody's a baki b'tiv gittin v'kedushin will pick up on it. Meaning, you could write basulta in one spot, and then in another spot in the ksuba, just write itza, a woman. And then in when they're doing research, when she wants to marry a Kohen in a future marriage, they're going to look at the ksuba and they'll say, oh, wait a second, something's off about this. Why would a Talmud Chacham write a ksuba like this? And then they'll do the research. In Mesoris Moshe, in Chelek Aleph, page Tav Chaf Aleph, Tav Chaf Beis, he says that if she doesn't even want the guy reading the ksuba knowing that she's a bula, you can write basulta, and don't worry that they'll rely on that to be matar halakuna later on. That's better than writing two ksubas, one for public reading, that's mizuyefes, one for private use. I've heard of that being done also, that they make two ksubas, one that they have a guy read under the chuppah and then they rip that up afterwards, and the other one that's the real ksuba. So Rav Moshe is not a big fan of that. Now Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva, I think it's a famous tshuva, I'm not sure, but to a woman who was living in a college dormitory, and she was nivelas to a guy on multiple occasions, and she felt terrible about it. She wants to be a balas tshuva, and she wants to do right, and she wants to live a frum life, and she felt terrible. What do I do now? And when I get married, my ksuba's not going to be able to say besulta. What do I do? So the case was that she was nichshal twice, and the second time was after doing tshuva from the first time. I mean, she was nichshal again. It wasn't just that she was living a life of hefkerus. She was trying to behave, and she violated the Isser Kares of Nida, the Isser of Pnuya, which the Rambam in the first paragraph of Hilchos Ishos considers a lav midoraisa. She clearly violating two averas is pretty bad. It's worse than violating one avera. But tshuva works for these kinds of things, Rav Moshe tells her. Now, the woman was concerned that it would be impossible to do tshuva, because after all, the Gemara in Kiddushin Dav Mem says that Amar Avuna kala over avera v'shanaba nasalo keheter, that when a person does an avera multiple times, they view it as heter, and it's like impossible. It just becomes part of their habit. And to compound the problem, we daven every day, al tevieni l'dei nisayon. So we certainly those who are already nichshal b'chet have to be careful from nisyonos. So it would be better, says Rav Moshe, if the guy that you were with was marriage material. But apparently, based on her letter, he said you have no intentions of marrying him, which makes things worse, and it's a reflection of an even bigger yetzer hara for just plain znus, because you didn't even do this on the promise of a long-term relationship. You did this stam because of a yetzer hara. So Rav Moshe writes, first thing you need to do is put yourself in a better context. Get out of the college dorm. He says, Shasham appears to Mitsuya Shinyan Arayas Humizulzal. That's what goes on in college dormitories. Get out of the college dormitory. Then he says, don't delay getting married because you're concerned about financial considerations. Because the woman said, I have this terrible yetzer hara, and I know I'm not going to get married anytime soon because I don't even have a good job yet. How can I support myself getting married? Rav Moshe said there's a thing called bitachon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that provides parnasa. Don't delay getting married because of your financial considerations. Best would be if this guy that you were with, again, was marriage material, but only... If he wants to do tshuva also, and he wants to observe Hilchos Nida, don't try to marry this guy if he's not also going to be observant, because you want to be a Shomer Torah and Mitzvos, so don't settle. You should look for a man who's going to be Shomer Torah and Mitzvos. Ah, you think if I fail twice, what's to stop me from failing another 50 times? How can I be a faithful wife? How could I not be nichshal in Isser Nida when I'm married? I was even nichshal in Isser Nida when I wasn't married. How could I ever get married and live a firm life and be nichshal in Isser Nida? Rav Moshe says, no, you don't understand the Yetzer Hara. Eino dama mishi yesh lo pas pasalo, mishi ein lo pas pasalo. Once you get married, the Yetzer Hara is not going to be nearly as great for Nida. When you're unmarried, the Yetzer Hara is much, much greater. And And then Rav Moshe writes, there's such a fascinating tshuva. Rav Moshe writes, Od Sricha At L'Da'as. You also need to know how vidui works when one confesses their sins. He says, Ki vidui tzarech adam rak belachash lefnei Hashem yisbarach. Vidui is done silently, it's done to Hashem. Our religion, says Rav Moshe, does not believe in vidui to a human being. He says, I'm so glad that I don't know you and you don't know me, and I'm the only one you told about this. That's the way it should be. You should not be going around telling Ashrik Suichata that we praise someone who covers up their averos. Don't go around spreading your averos. I but you're going to have to tell whoever, whatever boy you date before you marry him. Yes, says Rav Moshe, it's usher for you to tell it to him on a first date. Until you know that there's a chance of actual marriage, Ashrik Suichata, you're not allowed to go around telling your averos. When there's a chance that you sense that this dating period is going to lead to marriage, that's when you tell him. When you meet somebody, you mutually decide you want to get married, then you have to tell him. But be sure to tell him how much you deeply regret it, so that he'll realize that it would never happen again. And the right guy will certainly see that you're a changed person, that you're a balas tshuva, and would not back out of the shidduch on this account. And Rav Moshe gives her that eitza and that bracha. So in the case, going back to our shaila, with this therapist, I told him, according to Rav Moshe, for sure, the husband obviously is aware that she's not a basula. He's the one that made her not a basula, so he can commit to Messiah and write a ksubas pasula, and he knows that she was not nevelis lepasula, she was nevelis to him, so there's nothing that's going to pasula the kuhuna in the future, so there's no reason, at least according to Rav Moshe, there's no reason not to write a ksubas pasula, and it's none of the Masari Kiddushin's business, it's none of the business of anybody else, and as far as the respect for each other and how they could be nichshal, you should give those same encouraging words that Rav Moshe gave, that the Yetzer Hara prior to marriage is entirely different than the Yetzer Hara after marriage. And the doors are not closed to Balei Tshuva. People are able to do Tshuva no matter what the Aver, almost no matter what the Aver is. Certainly for these kinds of Averos, people are able to do Tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy to accept such Tshuva. And B'makom Shebalei Tshuva Omdim, Ein Sadikim Gemurim Yicholim Lamod. Okay, so that's what I told them to do. I guess we'll get to the other Shaila some other time. Od Chazon L'moed. Wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.
Have a good night.
Thank you.